Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com, for faith, fellowship, and love. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. It's Wednesday. We got a great lineup for you. It's pro-life month. I don't know what more you could ask for. Steve Ray, first hour. We're going to talk a bit about Old Testament saints. Second hour, Dr. George Delgado will be here, and we're going to do a pro-life open forum. So if you have questions about life, its beginnings, its middles, or its end, you're welcome to call. This hour, Old Testament saints. Well, is Abraham, have you ever heard Saint Abraham or Saint Moses or Saint Elijah? That sounds slightly strange to say it that way. But were these and others in the Hebrew scriptures, were they in fact saints? Can we as Catholics refer to them as saints? We'll get into that with Steve. Steve Ray, as you, I'm sure you know, is a convert to the Catholic Church, the author of a whole bunch of best-selling books, including Crossing the Tiber, Upon This Rock, St. John's Gospel, and The Faith for Beginners, Understanding the Creeds. He's the writer, producer, and host of a 10-part DVD series, The Footprints of God, from Salvation, The Story of Salvation, from Abraham to Augustine. Steve and his wife, Janet, are certified guides to the Holy Land. I believe they have spent half their life there. They lead pilgrimages throughout the Middle East, Rome, other places, Mexico, Germany, I've heard of in recent times. Steve, happy to have you.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here, Cy, and I hope the glare is not too much here, you know?
Oh, no.
It doesn't blind people.
Yeah, you look
fine. I don't want to be accused of blinding anyone.
Abraham, have you actually walked in the footsteps of Abraham? Have you walked on the earth where he walked?
All the way to Iraq. 2 years ago, my wife and I took our filming crew, and we flew to Basra.
Uh-huh.
Through Istanbul to Basra, and we spent a week in Iraq filming the life of Abraham's first 75 years of his life, because he lived there and he was worshiping pagan deities. He didn't worship the God of Israel.
Uh-huh.
He was worshiping Nana, the god of the moon, and they had a there's still the ziggurat, the big temple that he worshiped at, and I filmed from the top of there, and we did the Tigris and Euphrates River. So, and then we came back in through what's Turkey of today, and where he lived in Iran for a while. And then we went all through the Palestinian areas in Israel, filming the rest of it. And then we're one of the first times that anybody has gotten a camera down into the actual tomb where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are buried, where their bones were placed 4,000 years ago.
Wow.
So, yeah, we've done the life of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob on location.
So about when did Abraham live?
4,000 years ago, roughly.
Okay, so about 2000 BC.
Right. Maybe 1800,
okay.
1800 in that range.
So, but my point is BC means before Christ, and therefore, is it even possible that Abraham was a saint? Isn't it Christ who makes saints?
Well, it is. However, depends, I guess, on how we define the word saint.
Okay.
I think that I like to differentiate between saint with a capital S and saint with a small s. Saint with a capital S is one that we in the Catholic Church would say is a canonized saint. We know they're in heaven because of the Church declaring that, because of the investigations they've done, the life they've lived, the miracles they performed in response to prayer and intercession. Those are the ones that we know of, that we recognize as saints in heaven, canonized by the Catholic Church. There's another saint with a small s. That's you and me, by the way, because the New Testament calls us saints. Paul says, I'm writing to all the saints in Philippi. And the word saint there means one who is called or set apart or consecrated for God. We are small S saints on our way to capital S saints. And so the word saint can mean holy one, or it can actually mean one, something that's consecrated, set apart for God.
And okay.
That's what we are. We're saints that way. Now, the saint of the Old Testament, there was a period of time before Christ rose from the dead. And at that point, they would not have been in heaven, so to speak. At that point, they were in a place being held until the time. And then it says in the book of 1 Peter, and the catechism also says, and I got the quotes here as we get into it later, that Jesus went down and preached to them and said, guys, I did it. What you've been looking forward to, that by faith waiting for me to accomplish, knowing that there's heaven and all of this, you didn't maybe even understand it all completely, but I've done it. It's completed and it's finished, and I'm taking you up to heaven with me now. And from that point on, those saints of the Old Testament who were saints in God's eyes already were taken up into glory, and they're not there now. And Jesus, obviously, Moses and Elijah are speaking to Jesus on Mount Transfiguration. I was just there a couple of weeks ago. And
oh, yes.
they were there speaking to Jesus. They weren't dead. They were very much alive. They knew what was going on the earth. And Jesus also says that many will come from the east and the west. We'll go through these quotes if we need to later. And they will see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob dining and feasting in the kingdom of God. But you, Pharisees, he's referring to those Jews, will not be allowed to enter. But they're in heaven.
So is there a difference in the way the church in the East and us here in the West thinks about the Old Testament figures, say Abraham or Moses or Elijah or even maybe David or all these figures as saints?
Only that they emphasize it more. Not that we all recognize them. And even in our calendar, if you dig deep enough, and I have, by the way, I put up a blog today about this, and I have a calendar of the Old Testament saints' feast days, and I have some articles and things that I've written about them, and another article written by a Jewish Catholic that's excellent. So,
and the blog address is
CatholicConvert.com.
CatholicConvert.com.
Pilgrimages, talks, radio shows,
it's all there.
All articles, it's all in that one place. So the Eastern Church, I think, recognizes them more, acknowledges them more, have churches named after them. And when you go into their churches, my goodness, the Old Testament saints are everywhere. I love the way the Orthodox Eastern churches decorate their churches. Every inch is painted.
Yes,
beautiful.
I know.
I mean, it would be very distracting at Mass, but I still like it anyway. But we also recognize them as saints, but we don't acknowledge them or recognize them or discuss them as much as the Eastern Orthodox. Let me just read to you a quote here. I think I have it from the Catechism 61, and this is the Catholic Church's position on it, paragraph 61 of the Catechism. The patriarchs, prophets, and certain other Old Testament figures have been and always will be honored as saints in all of the church's liturgical traditions. So you can say, and Adam and Eve, for example, are saints in the Catholic Church. And guess what their feast day is? December 24th, the day before Jesus is born. And there's a great painting in a church in Istanbul, Turkey, that when I take my groups there, I like to go see, called the Choral Church. And there is a painting of Jesus pulling Adam and Eve up out of the grave.
Yeah.
He's reaching down into the grave and pulling Adam and Eve out. And the interesting thing about Eve is she's got a red cloth wrapped around her right hand, because she's embarrassed that that's the hand that reached up and took the fruit.
Awesome.
And so in that painting, she's got her hand covered.
888-318-7884 is our number. If you have a question about the Old Testament saints, about what Catholics think of the Old Testament saints or how we celebrate them, give us a call, 888-318-7884. Steve Ray is our guest, and he's been there. He's seen the spots, the places where these Old Testament saints walked upon this earth. Do you think, I just want to go back to that question about Jesus, because if he's the center of history, if he's the turning point, if he's the focus, the fulcrum point of all of history, How does he relate to the saints that came before him and after him?
I think Jesus is standing in the middle. He is the pinnacle of all of salvation history. So the saints of the Old Testament, those that were, they were looking forward to the coming Messiah. Even from Genesis chapter 3:15, it says that I will bring enmity between you and the woman, Satan, and between your seed and her seed, and he will crush your head, but you will bruise his heel. Right from the beginning, God's people knew that salvation, a redeemer, was going to come and crush the head of that serpent who had caused the fall. So they were all looking forward to that. They may not have had a complete understanding. They may not have had the full revelation that we have. In fact, Paul says in Ephesians that these things that I'm telling to you are being revealed for the first time, how this all this redemption is taking place. But the Old Testament saints, they were looking forward to it, and they received salvation and sainthood by what they were looking forward to in faith. We look back to that event, and we achieve salvation and sainthood by looking back and having faith on what was accomplished in history. So if you think of a big pole in the middle of history, everybody is saved the same way. It's just whatever direction they're looking up. It's kind of like the serpent in the wilderness.
Amen, indeed. 888-318-7884, the number. Steve Ray is our guest. We'll take a quick break and come back with your calls about the Old Testament saints for Steve Ray right after this.
Hello, this is Archbishop Alexander Sample of the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. Keep that dial right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Father Robert Spitzer.
First of all, you will get a much deeper awareness of your faith, much deeper awareness of the evidence for your faith, explanations of tough theological issues, how science and reason and faith come together, and above all, a deeper awareness of how to practice your faith and how to live it.
Father Spitzer's Universe with Father Robert Spitzer. Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their Catholic values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Hey, it is Pro-Life Month this month. All through January, all of our pro-life stuff is on sale for just $5. You go to the $5 pro-life category, and every Catholic Answers book that is either a every Catholic Answers book, I guess is what I meant to say, or DVD or CD or anything else we've got that is pro-life in nature, you can have it for $5. We'll get it right out to you. Stock up your pro-life library or help other people in their maybe coming to the pro-life position, maybe understanding it, or maybe deepening in their sense of the sanctity of human life and the duty that we all owe to life from conception to natural death. So go to shop.catholic.com and find the $5 pro-life category. This hour, we are talking with Steve Ray, one of the world's great evangelists and apologists, about the Old Testament saints, those Abrahams, Isaacs, and Jacobs. We haven't mentioned the women yet, however, and we will get to that. Our number is 888-318-7884, and I'm going to make you get to the women, Steve, by saying this. So Mary, as you love to say, is a tough little Jewish girl. I've heard you say it many a time. She must have looked to some of these saints to be her models and to be her kind of inspirations.
She did. Mary had heroes in the Old Testament. When you go to Bethlehem, when you go to Mount Zion in Jerusalem, and you go to the Church of Dormition where Mary fell asleep, and the church didn't define whether she fell asleep or died or what, but when the end of her earthly life was finished, there is a statue of her reclining there in sleep before being assumed into heaven. And above her, there is a beautiful mosaic. And I always draw our pilgrims' attention to it because it is Mary's heroes. And she's laying there looking up at them at the last moment of her life. And you see there, there's Eve, but taking a bite of the apple, who of course now is a saint. There's Miriam, who's playing the tambourine, and she's Moses' sister as they take the children of Israel victoriously through the Red Sea. Uh-huh. Then there's Yael. Yael was the woman who, when at Mount Tabor, there was a battle anyway, she took a stake and pounded it through the enemy's head, kind of through his head like that, and killed him. And well, that was one of Mary's heroes. Judith cut the head off of a general who was attacking Israel. Ruth was a Moabitess. She wasn't even from Israel. She was a foreigner who came in, and she said to Naomi, your God will be my God, and so on. And she converted. And Ruth and Esther, who saved the people of Israel. Those are the faces above that statue of Mary. Now, the Catechism says in paragraph 64, such holy women as Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Miriam, Deborah, Hannah, Judith, and Esther kept alive the hope of Israel's salvation. The purest figure among them was Mary. Throughout the Old Covenant, the mission of many holy women prepared the way for Mary.
Isn't
so Mary
something?
Had heroes. And yeah. You know, you don't think of that very – if people want to take a look, it's in paragraph 489. And it talks about Eve and Sarah and Esther and how all of them were stepping stones, preparing the way for the Messiah, actually preparing the way. Mary stands out among them all. After a long period of waiting, the times are fulfilled in her, the daughter of Zion. So she had her heroes, just like we have saints who are our heroes, maybe St. Peter, maybe St. Francis, some others. Mary had heroes. She knew her Bible. She was very immersed in the Psalms and in the scriptures. And she had heroes that she looked up to, that she emulated, that she wanted to be like. They were models for her. You know, we don't think of Mary that way. Everybody looks up to her as a model. But Mary, when she was a young girl, also had saints that she looked up to as a model that prepared the way for her.
Just like Jesus, she had to grow in wisdom and stature.
Exactly. She was a human girl.
Tons and tons of calls for you already, Steve. So let's go to the phones. Gerard in Idaho, listening out of Boise, Idaho on FM 102.3. You are first up. Your question for Steve Ray about the saints of the Old Testament.
Yeah. So, you know, like 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years ago, you have these Old Testament people that you know, at some point they died, you know, like Moses or Ezra, you know, the prophets. They die, and then I guess they go to this limbo or something and waiting for Jesus. I suppose if they didn't go there, they would just go to hell if they weren't going to go to heaven and be saved at some point. But is there any way of knowing, like, you know, maybe there's some, like, Navajo Indians from 5,000 years ago. Could they also have gone to, like, this limbo of the just, you know, or somebody from, you know, Asia, South America, you know, somebody from 5,000 years ago.
All right.
Who wasn't really from that part of the world.
I think that's a good question. I think that's a very good question. The Catholic Church teaches that you don't have to be a practicing Catholic going to Mass every Sunday to get to heaven. I think there's going to be a lot of Catholics who go to Mass every Sunday who don't get to heaven and will be surprised. And there will be Catholics up there who will be surprised at some others who do make it. Because the church has always taught, I think it's paragraph 847 or right in that range, where it says that those who, due to no fault of their own, who due to invincible ignorance do not know about the salvation of Christ and God's plan of salvation, but they obey their conscience and they attempt to know and understand God, even though it may not be correct, and they obey their conscience and they would follow and believe in him if someone would tell them about him, those two may be saved. Doesn't say they will, but may be saved. And I would agree that those would also be included among those. I use the example like that, Jerome, I think it was your name. I think that it's like this. If there's a little boy in the Amazon jungle and there's me, I was raised as a Christian, and we both stand, we died at 10 years old, say, and we both stand before God, and God says, little boy from the Amazon, you're condemned to hell because you never accepted Jesus as your Savior. And the little boy opens his mouth and says, well, for crying out loud, I never knew about him. I always tried to understand who God was. I always tried to do what was right. I never did the wrong things. I always tried to do what was right because I knew there was a God watching me, but I never heard of Jesus. How come you condemn me to hell? Because it's not my fault. Now, Steve Ray comes up and says, hi, yeah, you come into heaven because you accepted Jesus as your Savior. Well, yeah, because I was raised in a Christian home. Nobody's going to be able to point to God and say you are unjust and unmerciful and unfair. So I don't know who is in heaven and who is not in heaven, but I have to believe that if the catechism and the teaching of the church is correct, that those who seek after God and they obey the dictates of their conscience and they would be baptized and follow him if someone would just tell them. But it's due to invincible ignorance on their own part because they had no way of ever knowing. Then I think they also, too, will be in heaven. And I think that would refer to people before or after the resurrection of Christ.
Okay, Gerard.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You scared me by sending the boy from Brazil to hell. You made that was like a Jack Chick publication there for a second.
You know, I used to hand those things out when I was younger.
It's not a very nice God, that God.
No. And, you know, the word isn't limbo. Limbo is where babies who are unbaptized, there's speculation about that. I think the church is pretty much – it's never been taught as a defined doctrine. But this place is the place of the dead where they were held and waited. And it says Jesus did not descend into hell to deliver the damned or to destroy the hell of damnation, but to free the just who had gone there before him. So it was like they were waiting. In the it's called – in the Gospel of Luke, it's called the bosom of Abraham.
Yeah.
They were there in Abraham's bosom, and across the other side was those who were being tormented by the fires, remember? And they said, just bring a drop of water. Please go tell my brothers about this. But that already you can see there, Jesus telling that story in Luke, that the poor man was in the bosom of Abraham.
Thanks very much again for that call, Gerard. We go now to Gina in Dallas, Texas, listening to satellite radio channel 130 EWTN. Gina, your question for Steve Ray.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thanks.
Hi, Gina.
Well, hi. Well, it's Tina, actually. It's Tina, but that's fine.
Oh, okay.
I got
that's
it.
Totally
Thank you.
Fine. my question is, my husband and I, we returned to Rome for the past 2 years, and we love it. We were devoted Protestants for many years prior to that. When you had said earlier, Dr. Ray, about Adam and Eve being saints, respectively, my old Protestant roots wants to jump up a little bit and say, well, they were in sin. We don't know how they would have accepted Christ or that Christ would have reached his hand down to them. So I was wondering, not to make it be redundant, but if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit more about that, please.
Well, first of all, I'm not a doctor, but if you want to make me one, I'll certainly accept the promotion.
I'll confer it on you, Steve.
Well, that's been the teaching of the church, and they do have a feast day because even though Adam and Eve did sin and bring about the fall, they also believed God afterwards, and redemption was brought to them. I'm not going to have a verse off the top of my head to quote to you about that, but that's always been the teaching of the church, and I'll look it up for you if you want, and I have a blog up today about the Old Testament saints, and if I can find something more specific for you, I'll put it up there. But I know that from the beginning, Adam and Eve have always been considered to have been redeemed after they had such a calamitous fall, that they were redeemed from their sins, just like Noah and others as well. You know, Noah was a sinner too. He got so drunk and then had some other strange things happened after he got drunk, but he was redeemed. And Abraham, look at David. And David was such a sinner. He was a adulterer and a murderer. And yet God says a testimony that he's a man after my own heart, because even though David is a great sinner, he was also a great repenter. And I think that Adam and Eve, we're in the same category as that. But I'll look it up for you, Tina, and I'll see if I can put up some information on my blog after I get done here tonight.
Thanks, Tina. Appreciate that. We're talking Old Testament saints with Steve Ray today. 888-31-TRUTH, the number. We go now to Rico in Illinois, listening on 89.5 FM. Rico, your question for Steve.
Yeah, did you know that Moses started off as a basket case? That's a little side note.
Did you hear that, Steve? Moses started off as a basket case.
Well, that's a good one. I like it. And that the Pharaoh's daughter was also the first financier because she went down to the bank of the Nile and pulled out a little profit.
You too. Okay, enough. We need a real question now.
What is Solomon considered a saint? And if so, why? With, you know, all the women and everything like that.
No, Solomon would not be considered a saint because David sinned, but had a heart after God, and he sinned, but then he repented, and we see him die in God's favor. But Solomon, we see him set up on the hill of corruption. It's on the other side of the Kidron Valley on the Mount of Olives. He set up sacrifices and altars for the gods of his 1,000 wives. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. That's 1,000 women. And he went across the Kidron Valley and set up, it says that in the Bible, that he set up all of these altars to Chemosh and Baal and Asherah. And he bowed down himself and worshiped them. And God says, because you have done this horrendous thing, I will strip the kingdom from your hand. And there is no indication. I went through and studied this a while ago. There's no indication that Solomon ever repented of a sin or got right with God. So there's no indication that he would be a saint.
Okay.
Sad cool. story.
Thank
here's the wisest man in the world who really played the fool.
Yeah. Isn't it something that even wisdom is below sanctity? It's holiness would be a better thing to have even than wisdom.
And you know, it says Solomon loved his wives and did this. It was
yeah.
the love of women.
Ah, yeah, right. Steve Ray is our guest. Our topic, Old Testament saints. Give us a call, 888-318-7884. More of your calls for Steve right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Philip Rivers, NFL quarterback, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
A generation ago, Christian parents didn't have to worry about how to explain transgenderism to their 9-year-old children or help their teenager deal with mockery at school for believing in traditional marriage. But today, as our culture decays, we have to know how to talk to our children about these issues. In Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues, Layla Miller and Trent Horn give parents the crucial tools and techniques to form children with the understanding they need, appropriate to their age and maturity level, to meet the world's challenges. If we're not teaching our children how to understand tough moral issues, then the world will. Read Made This Way and learn how to give your kids a firm foundation on which to build a life of moral clarity and happiness. Order your copy of Made This Way today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or logging onto the shop at Catholic.com.
In a culture that worships the pursuit of sexual pleasure, the Catholic Church's teaching on contraception can seem archaic and unintelligible. Its critics say it is outdated, theologically unfounded, and even harmful. And even faithful Catholics can have difficulty explaining this moral teaching. Catholic Answers is out to change all that. That's why we've just released Trent Horn's dynamic new DVD, The Case Against Contraception, using scripture, papal and magisterial teaching, natural law, and new insights provided by social science and medicine, Trent put forward a compelling case for Catholic teaching with his trademark charity and persuasive graciousness. Be prepared to give a defense. Order your copy of The Case Against Contraception today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging onto the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
And this is Deacon Harold. The Morning Glory team talks about Catholic kid questions about the faith.
Tomorrow morning, 7 Eastern. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
I wasn't making a face at you, Nick. I was making a face because Gloria didn't say hi to me in their ad, but it's all right. I'm sure she meant well. 888-318-7884. Our number, 888-318-7884. Our guest, Steve Ray, and we're talking about Old Testament saints. Lots and lots of callers. I wonder if you think this, Steve. I mean, they made a movie recently about Samson. I haven't seen it yet. But we get more and more of our information from video and and all these, you know, sources like movies and television. And I wonder if people don't know the Old Testament saints as well as they once did. Like, maybe a lot of people don't know about Jonathan and David, you know, great stories, like really great stories.
Well, Catholics tend not to like the Old Testament so much. They Catholics tend to like the New Testament and the Catechism and the liturgy, but they tend not to like the Old Testament. And you know why? I think it makes sense, because I've used this example before. Is if we had a party, you and I, and we invite a bunch of friends, and we have pizza, but we have some left over. So next year, we put it all away, and then next year we have the same party again, and we put the old pizza out, but we get some new pizza over at the other table. And we say to people, come on in and eat. And we've got pizza from last year over here, and we've got the pizza from the hot and piping over here. Where are you going to go to eat the pizza? You're going to go to the new pizza, right?
People just like new stuff.
Yeah, why would you want? And that's how kind of sadly, I think that we think of things as we think of the New Testament. The Old Testament is old. Yeah. We just want the new.
Right.
So, but I think you're right, though, that we don't know the stories. Unfortunately, our parents don't read those stories to us anymore. Back in the old days, you didn't have television, and you would read in the evenings, and many families would read the Bible together and read these old stories. I know when I grew up, I didn't have a television. My father read the Bible to us, and he told us these stories. So I grew up with them.
Well, if one thing to be said more, and then I'll go to calls, because lots of people do want to talk to you. The thing about not knowing the stories and preferring the New Testament is that New Testament sure comes a lot more alive when you have a familiarity with the long history of Israel.
Absolutely. You can't understand the New Testament without the old. I'll give you an example. At Mass, we say, Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on me. And what does a lamb have to do with my salvation? That is utter nonsense without the Old Testament. Oh. I don't even have a lamb.
Yeah.
They just go,
you don't?
No.
I never trust a man who doesn't have a lamb. I got to go to calls now. I think less of you. A lamb is a sign of – I don't have a lamb either. Sorry. Christopher in Minnesota watching on YouTube Live. You are up next. Your question for Steve Ray.
Oh, yes. So my question – can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yep.
Okay, perfect. I just wanted to double check. I've never actually done this before. My question is Lazarus.
Yes.
We don't talk about him almost like ever. In fact, the only time I know of Lazarus is just teachings that I've picked up over the years, and it wasn't even main teachings. It was sort of stories that I deliberately had to pay attention to, unless otherwise they would have been forgotten. And when I go to church, I don't hear anything about Lazarus. I hear about other saints, and these are very important saints, such as Mary, Joseph, but a lot of them, like Mary and Joseph, they're other than Mary and Joseph, they're modern saints. So we talk about a lot of primal saints, a lot of saints that have great, very great importance, such as Mary and Joseph. And it's not to say that those should only be the focus. And I'm trying to figure out why. Why are?
Well, that's a tough one. Why the focus? What do you think, Steve? First of all, is it true, and then why?
Well, I think that we hear a lot about Mary and Joseph because they're right up front. You know, they're the parents of Jesus, the foster father and the mother of Jesus. So they're right up front. I think that I hear about Lazarus when we do those readings at Mass. And he is an important saint. He's the guy that Jesus raised from the dead. He's also the guy that died twice. You know, think about it. He died twice, was raised from the dead, and then he died again. And I think that we I would like to see a lot more teaching in the Catholic Church. I would like to see a lot more content. I have to admit that. What I really enjoyed about my old Baptist is that we'd go for an hour of Sunday school before you went to the church worship, quote unquote, worship service. So you'd have Bible studies there and you'd study all these saints. And too often Catholics, they rush in for masses, get in a little bit late, sit in the back, and they leave after communion. And that's really not the ideal. That's not what God expects. And we should be learning. And if we aren't learning about Lazarus and others, we should be. And it's I think it's some of our own fault, because we should be starting Bible studies in our parishes. We should be attending Bible studies in the parishes. We should be encouraging, and too often the priests are too busy to do all of this, but we lay people have to step in and do it. But I agree. I think that we ought to be hearing more about these saints, because these saints are the ones that encourage us and point the way to us. I give a talk called The Saints of the Old Testament, Pointing the Way to Holiness, and using them as examples.
Is that what got you? Then you went and made the video series after that, when you thought people needed
to... That's a recent talk I started giving recently. It's called The Necessary Road to Holiness, The Old Testament Saints Point the Way. But I got the idea for the movies in the year 2000. It's been a 20-year project that we've been working on those.
Christopher, thank you so much for that call. Appreciate it. We're talking Old Testament saints. We're talking with Steve Ray about them. If you have a question, give us a call, 888-31-TRUTH. Matt in Columbus, Ohio, is next, listening on 820 AM St. Gabriel Radio. Your question, Matt.
Hey, guys. Steve, I could listen to your talks all day. Thank you very much for everything that you do to teach the church.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you.
You're very welcome. So my question is, we have our hope for heaven, but what was it that the Old Testament saints hoped for? You know, was there hope in, like, earthly blessing for themselves and then for their descendants, or did they have some sort of hope for a pleasant afterlife?
I think probably both, but if you read the story, for example, of Abraham, and you read the story of Isaac and Jacob, and they were looking for their natural ancestors to possess the land, to keep their seed alive, keep their family going on into the future. And like Abraham, the promise was that through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. But I think as time went on, we have the full revelation now in Christ. We're at a great advantage because we have the scriptures and we have the tradition of the church and the catechism and so on. We can understand all about eternal life and death and resurrection. And it's important to us because we're going to a funeral in 2 days of a very, very dear friend of ours, even a family member. And it's all the whole idea of resurrection and the coming going to heaven is real fresh in my mind. But I think that as time went on, the revelation was more and more. God didn't reveal everything right away. But in Genesis, all the way back, he said that Satan would be defeated. There would become a redeemer. A redeemer would come who would destroy Satan. And there was a whole hope of redemption to bring back what Adam and Eve had lost somehow. And they were looking forward to that. And there were little hints given all along the way. A virgin shall conceive and give birth. And the Psalms are all full of the Messiah coming, and there's going to be this great king who comes. So even though they didn't have the full view, I think that they did know something was going to go, and the whole idea of resurrection and eternal life was some, a revelation that increased and increased throughout the Old Testament until its fulfillment in Christ.
Matt, there are so many calls. I'm going to leave it there. I hope that was very helpful to you. Steve Ray, our guest, we're talking about Old Testament saints. Let's go to Jordan in Detroit, Michigan, listening on Ave Maria Radio. Jordan, your question for Steve.
Hey, good evening. Thank you for taking my call. So not specific to any one in particular Old Testament saint, but just in general for women, how were women instituted into the Old Covenant when men had circumcision? What was it that women did to enter into the Old Covenant?
It was, I would say, a combination of things. It was their relationship with their father or their husband. It was a very patriarchal society. That's why men were circumcised. Women didn't have any kind of an initiatory right to come into the people of God. It was through the male, through their father or through their husband. But also they did it through faith and through their good works and through their righteousness. We know that the works that they did back in those days was, I'll give one example. St. Paul had heroes too. One of them was Phinehas, and he was a man who acted in God's favor in Numbers chapter 25. He did an amazing thing for God and honored and brought honor to God's name. And in Psalm 106, we see the same thing said about him that was said about Abraham in Genesis 15. In Genesis 15, it says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. And it says that Phinehas, because of what he did, it was accounted to him as righteousness. And even the Jews today understand that there are certain almsgiving and acts of righteousness and prayer that also bring one close to God. The whole life of conduct of faith and righteousness, those were, they were referred to as the holy men and women. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11, you see a whole catalog of them, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. There's a whole catalog of those who had gone before. Some were sawn in half as martyrs. And these were the ones who attained to holiness before God. And so it wasn't just circumcision back then, but it was also living a life of holiness and obedience to God.
I'm still going to keep moving real quick here. Jordan, I hope that that was helpful to you. We have to take a quick break, and I do want to, when we come back, get to everybody else who is waiting on the line. We're talking Old Testament saints with Steve Ray, who has traveled probably 100 times more than any of the Old Testament prophets, maybe a million times more. I don't know. But you had the advantage of not having to do it all on your feet, though.
Right. I'm over 2 million miles with Delta alone.
Are you really?
Yeah, that's the equivalent of flying around the Earth 80 times.
You just need to get your own plane then. why keep using theirs?
I like keeping life simple. No planes.
Fair enough. Hey, right now you can still get Jimmy's Aiken's book, A Daily Defense, at half off. Hundreds of people have taken advantage of this since we did it. 5 minutes a day to grow in your faith by reading these one-page defenses of the faith that in 365 plus one of them. A daily defense, just 5 minutes a day. Learn a new answer to an apologetics challenge every day. You can get it for 50% off right now at shop.catholic.com.
And it's good stuff.
It is good stuff.
Huh? Yeah. One thing I would say, and I'm going to be with you guys in California for the Legatus Summit next weekend. And they're going to have – you guys are providing all the books. You're selling them. And I always recommend people to go to your website, Catholic.com, for if they're going to buy books, because they don't have to worry about it, that you've got the best stuff. You've got great books, great resources. They're well vetted, so to speak. And you have all my stuff there. You have all my movies, the nine that I've made so far.
We do have high-quality stuff there.
Yeah, and my five books too. So you guys are doing good stuff. So if you're going to buy books – Catholic books, go to Catholic.com and get them there, because not only do you get great stuff, but you're also supporting the best apologetics organization in the country.
Thanks, Steve. Can you clip that and just make an ad out of it?
Catholic Answers Live.
We need EWTN Radio for the reason that Mother Angelica founded this entire enterprise. She always saw this as a spiritual growth network. It was to be an enterprise in media that reached people in all aspects of their life. She saw this as a holistic approach to reaching the whole person in the middle of the world and bringing them truth and life.
Raymond Arroyo thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Francis reminds us that it does not take a specialized degree in theology to become a great evangelist. We're all called to evangelize. Think about the woman at the well. After she encountered Jesus, she immediately went into the city and invited others to meet him as she had. You and I can go out now and do the same. And St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. Get involved today by contacting us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Pro-Life Open Forum next hour. It is Pro-Life Month or Respect Life Month or Be Good to Life Month, or I imagine it's got other titles I don't even know about. Here in San Diego, we got the Walk for Life coming up January 19th, 8:30 in the morning, Balboa Park, 6th and Laurel. So I'm going to try to get down there. Anybody else going to try to get down there? Darren's going to try to get down there. You're not the important one, though, Darren. Your wife should go down there. She's a physician. We need physicians there testifying to the sanctity of life. I'm sure our second hour guest will be there, Dr. George Delgado. And these life walks are all over, our state of California. Got one coming up in L.A., the big giant one up in San Francisco. Steve, have you ever been to the one in Washington, D.C.?
I have not, but I've been to the one in San Francisco. I went out there. Ignatius Press was involved in it, and I've been out there for that one.
That's a good one, huh?
I'll tell you, that was a very strange situation, because when we were there, they had a fence because they had a whole bunch of other people. I don't want to try to describe them, but I wouldn't want them for neighbors. And they were going along with us, swearing and cursing and so on. And that was a very interesting, You could see a demarcation day and night between those who supported life and those who didn't. And I'll tell you who I want as a neighbor.
A little bit of persecution is good for us, though. A little bit of people yelling at us.
I won't tell you what I said.
No. Now, come on now, Steve. Turn the other cheek. did you become a little bit of an Old Testament prophet on them there?
I just told them it's a good thing there was a fence between us.
We are talking with Steve Ray about Old Testament prophets. This hour, 888-31-TRUTH. The number, we go now to Alicia in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Ave Maria Radio. Alicia, your question for Steve Ray.
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
I had this question. I'm a convert at the age of 21 to Catholicism, was raised Christian Missionary Alliance and then Baptist, and studied my Bible. But I've always been confused about where the teaching is that Jesus and Lucifer were in heaven, and Lucifer fell from the sky, and because when he found out that Jesus was going to be the Savior, picked as the Son of God to help, you know, bring about this, I want to know where that's at or how I can find that, or where that teaching is.
I'm looking it up right now for you. Isaiah chapter 14. It says, "How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn." Star of the morning is Lucifer. That's the word, Lucifer, the shining one. "You have been cut down to the earth. You have weakened the nations. You said in your heart, 'I will ascend into heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the recess of the north.' I will ascend," goes on and on. "Nevertheless, you will be thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit." That is in Isaiah chapter 14. There's also a parallel passage that would go along with that in the Gospel of Luke, which I don't have on the tip of my tongue, where Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning down to the earth." Same thing, as you put these two together and they're parallels.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much, because I've been
trying
to relate that.
And welcome home, by the way. I'm very aware of the Missionary Alliance, and I was involved a little bit with that in my former life as well. So welcome home. It's good to have you.
Oh, I've been here for a while. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Alicia. Appreciate that call. Joan in Canton, Ohio, is next, listening on Living Bread Radio. Joan, your question for Steve.
Hi, good evening. Hey, when you were talking about Mary having her saints, you know, saint heroes from the Old Testament, like Miriam and Esther, did you say Eve?
Yes.
Okay, so Eve is considered a saint. Is that because
yes,
she's like a typographical figure of Mary, or...
No, because she is considered to have been redeemed, and the Catechism says here, I'll read to you paragraph 489, "Throughout the Old Covenant, the mission of many holy women prepared for that of Mary. At the very beginning, there was Eve. Despite her disobedience, she receives the promise of a posterity that will be victorious over the evil one, as well as the promise that she will be the mother of all the living." So because she accepted that promise that God gave, even after she sin. She was a saint. She was redeemed. And Mary was, and she was one of those in the Old Testament that would have been a model for Mary, a model, and not, of course, in sin, but Mary would, any saint that we have also had their flaws. We're all sinners too. Even the saints in heaven have lived a life of, they didn't do everything correct. They went to confession too. But we don't look to their sins. We look to how they overcame their sins, how they experienced redemption. David, for example, though he was an adulterer and a murderer, was a man after God's own heart, because even though he was a great sinner, he was also a great repenter. So even you can look to Eve. She believed in the promise that God gave, and from that point on, she became the mother of all the living, and she lived out that, even though she brought such calamity onto the earth.
Okay. Does that work for you, Joan?
Oh, yeah.
By the way, that's paragraph... If you want to read it, it's in the Catechism 489.
Okay, is Adam considered a saint?
Yes, Adam and Eve both are, and their feast day is December 24th. The day before Christ is born is the feast day of Adam and Eve in a calendar of the church.
Do they have a special charism that we pray to them for, or, you know?
Apples.
I think that I don't know for sure what if there is one, but I would think it would be that they believed in the promise of God and they endured their punishment. They endured the fall that they brought about, and they regretted it and repented of it, and they believed the promise of God and continued to go on.
Thanks, Joan. Appreciate the call. Diana, next up, listening to Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 130 EWTN in Indiana. Diana, your question for Steve.
Hello?
Hi, Diana.
Hello, Diana.
Hi. Sorry, I kind of stepped away from the phone.
Oh, well, we're happy here to have you.
Thank you. Okay, my question, actually, I've kind of changed it since I've been waiting. I'm wondering about cavemen. Would Adam and Eve, you know, being so far back, the beginning of creation, would they have been cavemen?
We're having trouble hearing you a little bit, Diane. Can you just say the question right into the phone, and we'll see if we can get it.
Okay. I'm wondering, Adam and Eve, were they considered cavemen, the first cavemen?
Oh.
I have no idea. I don't know. I think it's off topic kind of what we're talking about. That would be another topic of anthropology, but I don't think so. I think that the scriptures give us that they were human beings and created by God with a soul. How they're placed in regards to cavemen and so on. Maybe Jimmy Akin's a better one to answer a question like that.
Can I just recommend a chapter of a book? G.K. Yep. Chesterton wrote a book. What's the one with the man in the cave? Is the first – what's that? The Everlasting Man. Darren says
Everlasting Man.
And it starts with a chapter called The Man in the Cave, and it's about cavemen. And I think it'll give you a great insight into your question. Chesterton's pretty good. He's not bad.
Him Chesterton. And C.S. Lewis, these guys, great respect for these guys. They're the ones that helped bring me into the Catholic Church, by the way.
Oh, Chesterton and Lewis?
Oh, yeah.
Well, let me give you a question from – well, this is kind of a personal question. I'm going to give it to you anyway, Steve. Give you a chance to give your testimony if you want. Steve, you used to be a Baptist and lived a Christian life and believed you were saved. Now that you're a Catholic, why can't you believe that anymore?
I still believe it. What do you mean, that I'm not saved or I am saved?
I don't know. It came to us via...
I was a Baptist, and I believed I was saved based on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and applying that to my life. And as a Catholic, I'm even more sure of it because now I have the fullness of the faith. And what I had as a Baptist was good, but what I have as a Catholic is now the fullness of the faith. I use the analogy that I was born on a raft and didn't know there was a ship. And one day I see the ship on the horizon and I ask what that is. And people said, I don't want to talk about it. Why? Because it's the ship. In other words, everybody was on the ship first, but they got disgruntled. And a lot of people went down in the belly of the ship. They found wood and they found ropes and they lashed them together and they made rafts. And about 1,500 years after the ship set sail, 1,500 years, notice that, Martin Luther, the people made rafts and jumped off, and now there's 40,000 some rafts floating around the ship. And everything good we had on the raft, I had gotten it from the ship. But I didn't know there was a ship. I was born on a raft. And when I saw the ship, I realized, hey, there's something here. Why am I on a raft if there's a ship? And then I looked at that ship for a year. I paddled my raft around looking at that ship for a year. And I finally said, you know what? I'm getting on that ship. Now I have the fullness of salvation, not just what you have on a raft. And now I've got what you have on a ship. So I believe I was saved back then because I was right with God. And I was living my life the best I knew how. But now I've got the fullness of the faith in the church. So
what an analogy.
I'm even more happy.
What an amazing analogy. Well, let me ask you this then. Since our topic has been throughout this hour, Old Testament saints, are there – you talked about heroes for Mary and Jesus reference to the – but what about you, Steve Ray? Who do you look to in the Hebrew Scriptures, in the Old Testament, and you say somebody
– Abraham.
Abraham is your guy?
I know, right? We're going, I love Abraham and I love Jacob, and I'll tell you why. Abraham – was 75 years old, and God came to him. And there's a poem written about this, and I put this poem in my movie. I recited, and 75 years old, he's worshiping pagan gods, has never heard from this God before, and he says, "Look, you come lately. You come and tell me I have to pick up my tents and I have to move away. I have to leave the bones of my ancestors. I have to leave the gods that I've become familiar with. You come very lately, Lord, but my camels will leave in the morning."
Isn't that wonderful? That's why St. Paul loves him for that kind of faith.
Absolutely. He's called the father of our faith. Why? He didn't say to God, "Now, if it was you or me and God came and said, I want you to go." "Go where?" "To a place I'll show you." "Well, where is it?" "Just keep going and I'll tell you when to stop." I would have said, "Well, I want to know, do I have health insurance there? Do I have a deed to the land? I want to see the signature. I want to know what kind of pension I'm going to have."
Yeah.
But Abraham didn't. He said, "Wherever you go, my camels will leave in the morning." Jacob was a rogue, a cheat, a liar. And yet God says, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And if God can say he's a God of Jacob, he can say he's the God of Steve Ray, too.
Amen, Steve Ray. Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to seeing you next week. We'll have Steve on again next week when we do the show on location from Orange County. Looking forward to that. You can find out all about Steve at CatholicConvert.com.
I have a blog about this topic up today.
All right. Stay tuned for another hour of Catholic Answers Live. This hour, a pro-life open forum. Whether you're pro-life or not, you're welcome to call 888-31-TRUTH. Right back after this.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on Nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at LexusofLexington.com.